Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we're diving into one of the most exciting and most misunderstood areas of your OCR GCSE music course, communication. That's topic 1.4, and it sits right at the heart of your performance components. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Communication? I just play the notes. But here's the thing. Playing the notes is only half the job. The examiner isn't just listening to whether you hit the right pitches. They're asking, does this performance make me feel something? Does this candidate understand the style and character of the music they're playing? That's what communication is all about. In the next 10 minutes, we're going to break it all down: what communication actually means in music, how to demonstrate it in your performance, how to write about it brilliantly in your listening exam, and I'll give you some killer exam tips and a quickfire quiz at the end. So let's get started. So, what exactly is musical communication? In OCR's mark scheme, examiners are looking for what they call convincing communication of musical style. Let me unpack that phrase, because every single word matters. Convincing means it has to feel genuine and intentional. You can't just stumble into an expressive moment. The examiner needs to hear that you made a deliberate choice. Communication means you're projecting musical meaning to a listener. You're telling a story, creating an atmosphere, or capturing a mood. And musical style means you understand the genre, period, or character of the piece you're performing. A Baroque sonata should sound different from a jazz standard, even if both are technically accurate. Let's talk about the six key building blocks of musical communication. Think of these as your toolkit. First, dynamics. This is your volume range, from pianissimo, that's very soft, all the way to fortissimo, which is very loud. But communication isn't just about being loud or quiet. It's about contrast and shape. A sudden piano after a forte passage can be electrifying. A gradual crescendo builds tension. The examiner wants to hear that you're using dynamics deliberately to shape the music's emotional journey. One really practical tip here: when you're recording your performance, exaggerate your dynamic contrast slightly. Microphones can flatten dynamics, so what feels like a big difference to you in the room might sound quite subtle on the recording. Push those contrasts a little further than feels natural. Second, articulation. This is how you start and end each note. Staccato means short and detached, like little musical dots. Legato means smooth and connected, notes flowing seamlessly into one another. Accents emphasize specific notes. Slurs connect groups of notes in a phrase. The way you articulate notes completely changes the character of the music. Staccato in a Baroque piece might suggest lightness and wit. Legato in a romantic melody might convey longing or tenderness. Examiners credit the deliberate application of articulation that enhances the phrasing and projects the character of the piece. That phrase is straight from the mark scheme. Learn it. Third, phrasing. Think of a musical phrase like a sentence in speech. It has a beginning, a direction, and an end. Good phrasing means shaping each phrase, perhaps starting quietly, growing toward the middle, and tapering at the end. It means understanding where the musical punctuation is. Poor phrasing makes music sound like a list of notes rather than a flowing musical thought. When you practice, sing through your phrases before you play them. Your voice naturally shapes phrases in a musical way, and you can then transfer that to your instrument. Fourth, tempo and rubato. Tempo is your overall speed, and it needs to be appropriate for the style. An inappropriate tempo is one of the most common mistakes examiners see. Playing a Baroque minuet too slowly makes it drag. Playing a romantic nocturne too fast strips away its expressive depth. Rubato is the flexible stretching and pulling of tempo within a phrase, slowing slightly at an expressive peak, then pressing forward again. It's a powerful expressive tool, especially in romantic music, but it needs to feel natural and controlled, not random. Fifth, tone, color, and timbre. This is the quality of your sound. On a string instrument, playing near the bridge gives a harsh, intense tone. Playing near the fingerboard gives a warmer, softer sound. Singers can use different vowel shapes and breath support to change their tone color. Pianists can use the sustain pedal to create a warm, blended sound, or play without pedal for clarity and crispness. The tone you produce should always serve the style of the music. Sixth, and perhaps most importantly, stylistic awareness. This is the big one. It means understanding the conventions of the genre or period you're performing in. Baroque music typically has terrace dynamics, sudden shifts rather than gradual crescendos, and ornaments like trills and mordants. Classical music values clarity, balance, and elegance. Romantic music embraces emotional intensity and expressive freedom. Jazz relies on swing rhythms, improvisation, and a relaxed conversational feel. If you're performing a piece and your interpretation ignores these conventions, the examiner will notice. Now, communication isn't just assessed in your performance. In your listening exam, that's your written component, you'll be asked to analyze how composers and performers use musical elements to communicate mood, character, or meaning. This is where AO4 comes in, musical literacy. When you're writing about communication in the listening exam, you must always link the effect, the what, directly to the musical device, the how. For example, don't just write, "The music sounds tense." Write, "Tension is created through the use of dissonant, diminished seventh chords in the strings, combined with a sudden drop to pianissimo, which creates an unsettling atmosphere." That's the kind of answer that earns full marks. Right, let's talk exam strategy. I've got four golden rules for you. Golden rule one, choose repertoire within your technical comfort zone. I cannot stress this enough. If you're spending all your mental energy just trying to play the right notes, you have no capacity left to think about expression and communication. Select a piece that you can play fluently and confidently, and then pour your energy into making it musical. A technically simpler piece performed with genuine expression will outscore a technically demanding piece played mechanically every single time. Golden rule two, in your written answers, always name the device before describing the effect. The formula is device, then effect, then why. So, the use of a rising chromatic scale creates a sense of building tension because the dissonant intervals create harmonic instability that is only resolved at the climax. That three-part structure will earn you marks every time. Golden rule three, avoid the three most common mistakes. Mistake one, describing mood without identifying the musical cause. It sounds scary, gets you zero marks. The use of a minor key and sudden fortissimo dynamics creates a frightening atmosphere, gets you full marks. Mistake two, prioritizing technical difficulty over expression. Mistake three, inappropriate tempo choices. Always check the style conventions for your chosen piece. Golden rule four, in your performance, think about your audience from the very first note. Your posture, your preparation before you begin, the way you breathe into a phrase, all of these communicate intent to the listener. Even in a recorded performance, the examiner can hear whether you're engaged with the music or just executing notes. Time for a quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one, what does rubato mean? It means flexible tempo, the slight stretching and pulling of time within a phrase for expressive effect. Question two, name two types of articulation a performer might use. Staccato, short and detached, and legato, smooth and connected. Accents and slurs also count. Question three, what is the examiner looking for when they assess convincing communication of musical style? They want to see that you understand the genre conventions and are using expressive devices deliberately to project the character of the music. Question four, complete this sentence. In a written answer, always link the blank to the blank. The effect to the musical device, or the what to the how. Question five, why should you exaggerate dynamic contrast slightly in a recorded performance? Because microphones can flatten dynamics, so exaggerating them ensures the contrast is clearly audible on the recording. So, let's bring it all together. Communication in music is about far more than playing the right notes. It's about using dynamics, articulation, phrasing, tempo, tone color, and stylistic awareness to project genuine musical meaning to your listener. In your performance, choose repertoire you can play fluently, and then focus every ounce of your energy on making it expressive and stylistically convincing. In your written exam, always name the musical device, describe its effect, and explain why it works. That three-part formula is your best friend. Remember, the examiner wants to be moved, surprised, or transported by your performance. Give them something to feel. You've got this. Good luck with your OCR GCSE music. I'll see you in the next episode. Take care.